The kids, they love cartoons, and our next guest noticed how often the villains in cartoons have a foreign-sounding accent or dialect. But what message does that send to kids when all the bad guys sound different than them?
Now our boys are on the way to California, unaware that Bullwinkle's mattress full of money is the target of two pairs of sinister eyes belonging to... Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, it can't be.
Say the name.
Boris and Natasha.
Ta-da!
Then we steal mattress, Boris.
No time like the president, Natasha. Look, we're coming to tunnel. When it gets dark, we grab mattress and make a run for it, okay?
Okay!
It's Boris and Natasha, bad guys in the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. Calvin Gidney is an associate professor in the Elliott Pearson Department of Child Study and Human Development at Tufts University. Calvin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, what first got you interested in looking at the foreign accents of so many cartoon bad guys?
Well, it goes back to when I first saw The Lion King, the Disney movie, in theaters. You know, I'm a sociolinguist, so I'm particularly interested in language variation. And when I saw The Lion King, I was shocked and unpleasantly surprised by how the movie used dialect to signal whether a character was a good character or a bad character. So that was the start of it.
Break it down in The Lion King for us. What accents did the good guys have, and what accents did the bad guys have?
Sure. So you'll remember the Lion King movie. They're the good lions, like Mufasa and Simba, and they all speak a dialect that we linguists call standard American English. It's a dialect you and I are speaking right now. It's what you hear on the radio, and it's kind of devoid of regional accents or ways to identify things. Then, for some reason, inexplicably, Mufasa's brother, Scar, speaks with a British accent. And when I first heard that, I thought, okay, that's strange. Maybe he spent some time in a zoo in Oxford or something. Why would his brother have a different dialect? Then if you take the hyenas that the evil Scar sort of co-opts into working for him, one of those hyenas has a really recognizable African-American dialect. That was the hyena voiced by Whoopi Goldberg. And then the other one has a very noticeable Spanish-accented English, and that was the one that was voiced by Cheech Marin. And suddenly, there's a whole universe about good characters and bad characters and how they sound, and I thought that was really pernicious messaging.
And once you start looking, it's hard to stop finding these. Here's another Disney example, Jafar from the movie Aladdin.
Jafar, I order you to stop.
Ah, but there's a new order now. My order. Finally, you will bow to me.
We will never bow to you.
Why am I not surprised?
If you won't bow before a sultan, then you will cower before a sorcerer. Genie, my second wish. I wish to be...
So there we have American accents, British accented bad guy, and whatever Gilbert Gottfried is.
That's right. Gilbert Gottfried is... I mean, that clip is a perfect clip because it really illustrates the way that movies, particularly cartoons, use voices as a sort of shorthand to children and to other people watching that a character is either a good character, a bad character, or just a funny character like Gilbert Gottfried's character.
Before we get into what you did in your research... Why? Why is this important for kids if some bad guys, many bad guys, have some kind of different outsider accent?
Well, for several reasons. First of all, children are learning from their environment, and they learn messages that we teach them explicitly, but almost as importantly, they learn messages implicitly, the things that we don't actually teach them, but they notice about the world. And we know as adults that just because you have a particular accent or dialect doesn't mean that you're necessarily a good person or a bad person. There are people who speak all different kinds of dialects and accents that are either good or bad or funny or not funny. And we shouldn't use a person's accent as a shorthand for that. So I want to combat stereotyping, that type of stereotyping.
So let's get into the details of the study now. With all this in mind, what did you start digging for?
Well, the first thing I did was come in and talk to a colleague of mine, Dr. Julie Dobrow, who is a specialist in children's media. And I was complaining about The Lion King, and she said, you know, we ought to study that in children's cartoons. So what we've done for the past 4 years is we take the top 10 shows that children between the ages of 6 and 11 are watching, and we're sure to include a number of different types of networks like public television like Arthur or cable TV like Disney or Nickelodeon or network TV. And we take 3 episodes of each, and then undergraduates and graduate students do the painstaking task of listening to every single speaking character in there and coding them for different linguistic features, the dialect and the accent they speak with, the types of words that they use, their intonation and such. So we have, after 3 years, and we're now in year number 4, but 3 years, we've got 90 episodes of 30 different shows coded, and we have about 4,000 different characters coded.
Wow. That's huge. So now you're starting to see patterns. What do you find out after you look at the work and the way they've classified the different speakers in these cartoons?
Well, I mean, I guess the first and perhaps most obvious is that heroes and heroines speak standard American English. And things that are dubbed or made in the U.S. or in Canada, that's the dialect they choose for heroes and heroines. When you find dialects or varieties of English that are not those dialects, they're often relegated to certain types of roles. So, for example, if you often find a set of dialects that an American might recognize as sort of working class New York or urban, that sort of, the lime pits is already dug, boss, that kind of thing, you'll find that particular accent almost exclusively as criminals and people who are disreputable, right? So that they use that as a shorthand. Then if you find certain accents of evil characters, even in the 21st century, we're finding sort of German-type accents used to show that a character is somehow evil. For example, in one of the cartoons is a character named Doofenshmirtz.
Even his last name. Yeah.
Right, is a German last name, in Phineas and Ferb. And he has a sort of, it's not exactly German, a German speaker wouldn't recognize it as German, but we would as American English speakers recognize it as a sort of German accent. And then you have British English dialects, which is kind of interesting because, you know, I think Americans, we have sort of ambivalent views about British English. On the one hand, we think that way that the Queen speaks, which linguists called received pronunciation, we think of that as very eloquent and elegant. But on the other hand, you'll find a lot of evil geniuses like Scar or like Jafar have a British accent. So, you know, we have an ambivalent view of it. It's either a sidekick or somebody very elegant, or it's somebody who's sort of malevolent.
I want to key in on the Central and Eastern European part, because there's the Germanic ones and there's the Boris and Natasha's with their sort of cinematic, comical Russian accents. Why do we find those simultaneously evil and funny?
Well, I think we find them, I think they're both, because number one, a lot of times along with just the accent, in other words, the way they pronounce things, they also might have grammatical differences. So, for example, Boris and Natasha, to go back to you, the Bullwinkle, they also have certain characteristics that actual Russian speakers have. Like, in Russian, there are no articles, words like the and So, Boris and Natasha say moose and squirrel instead of the moose and the squirrel. So that's funny to us because that actually is how some Russians learning English might speak English. So it's funny because it is you know, describing something real. But at the same time, the insidious part is that we come to associate it, that accent, with being somewhat sinister.
Let's bring it back around to kids now. And I understand you're going to be doing more work on this. How do we find out if, you know, being exposed to this idea that, hey, people who talk a certain way are particular kinds of people, how do we figure out how that affects kids?
Well, you know, we are right now at the start of that process. What we're going to do is we're going to work with kids in first and second grade in a variety of different places, including in California and Louisiana and in the Boston area as well, where we're located. And we're going to play them different voices, and we're going to ask their opinions about whether they've, what they think of that character's voice. I mean, you know, you always have to do a little bit of deception with young kids when you're doing something like this. You can't just ask them their attitude toward a dialect. So what we tell them is that we're trying to make a TV show, and we'd like their help deciding what to do with these different voices and characters. Should that character be a good character or a bad character? And then we ask a couple of questions about the characters. Are they funny? Are they not funny? Do we think that they're going to be smart or not smart? And then we ask if they're going to be the hero or the villain or a sidekick. So that, and you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised, many 6-year-olds have very definite attitudes and ideas about what they want to be in their show. And so far, we've just done a pilot study so far with 20 kids. So far, it's pretty clear that if the voice we play kids speaks standard American English, they're likely to say, oh, that's going to be the hero or the heroine, depending on if it's a male or female voice. And we haven't yet found one of the kids in our sample say that the standard voice is a sidekick or is a funny character.
And Calvin, I can't let you go. You mentioned you looked at PBS shows. We've got a lot of public media fans out there. How did PBS kids shows do when it came to these accents?
Do you know something? In some ways, a lot better. And in other ways, speaking from my own perspective as a sociolinguist, there's still room for improvement. So some of the PBS shows that we looked at included Arthur, which is a great show, Magic School Bus, Word Girl, and The Adventures of Maya and Miguel. And with the exception of that last show, The Adventures of Maya and Miguel, what you find in those other shows is pretty typical, like in Arthur. The characters all look different. In other words, the characters in Arthur, some are blue and some are orange and, you know, whatnot. But they all kind of speak the same. So it sort of gets rid of linguistic diversity, and all of the characters just speak standard American English. And personally, I don't think that's exactly the right message either, because we live in a country that is diverse and that has a lot of different wonderful, beautiful, regional, and ethnic accents.
We'll leave it there, Calvin. Thanks a lot for sharing your research with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's Calvin Gidney, Associate Professor of Child Study and Human Development at Tufts University. We've been talking about his study on accents and children's entertainment.